I want to welcome each one here this evening. And to all of those who are visiting with us, we want you to know that we appreciate very much you making the choice, the decision to come and be a part of our service this afternoon. I would encourage you to follow with me, to understand that you have a responsibility to know the truth and then to live by that truth. And to that end, I encourage you study on your own. In our lesson this morning, we talked about the fact that the mind is a wonderful instrument. That the mind separates us from the other parts of God's creation. We're not talking about the brain, the physical matter that is in our head. We're not talking about that part of man that will become corrupt, that part of man that will grow old, that part of man that will decay. We're talking about the mind of man, the soul of man, that keeps on living even after death. And the mind, again, is a wonderful tool. And part of the mind is that it allows us to focus our attention. It allows us to look at things and consider things and to judge how we are going to react or what we're going to do in certain situations. We don't always control our attention the way that we should. Quite often we find ourselves going in different directions. We're trying to focus in an area, but we're not able to do that for some reason. Maybe it's because there are too many things going on in our life. Maybe it's because we are spread too thin. Maybe we're not as excited as we should be about a particular situation. We're not as motivated. Maybe we're not as careful and precise in what we're trying to do. Maybe we're not giving our best effort. Maybe we're just not driven to succeed in the things that we need to do. And so it's important that we develop our ability to focus, our attention span, to make sure that we're able to get things done that need to be done. And there are various tricks that we are told will help us to develop our attention span, to increase it, that will allow us to focus better if we'll just put these things into practice. And some of them make sense. The idea of better sleep habits. You know, you're told that if you're going to have a test the next day in school, or if you have some project or something where you need to be on top of your game, make sure you get a good night's sleep the night before. And that's pretty sound advice. A better nutrition. You want to have a good breakfast that morning of, if you're going to, again, involve your mind. Drink plenty of water. Weight control. Exercise. Environment control. All of these things are suggested as ways in which we can increase or improve our focus ability. And again, they make sense. But in doing a little bit of reading on this, I also found some things that I would call unusual tricks. And these are suggestions made by the supposed experts. And maybe they make sense to you, I don't know. But the first one is wiggle your toes. If you need to focus, wiggle your toes. Now, this appeared in the Oprah.com, and it was entitled How to Focus, Improve Your Attention. And the very first suggestion was wiggle your toes. Okay. No, I'm not going to do that. The next one, up the cute quotient. In other words, put up pictures of cute little animals, cats and dogs and babies and those kinds of things. That will help you to focus your attention. Varied nostril breathing. I don't completely understand this one, but they say that if you'll close up one of your nostrils and breathe in and then close the other one and breathe out, that somehow is to help focus your mind on things. Lucid dreaming. When you have a dream, you wake up, write down the details of your dream that you can remember. And again, I don't know if these work or not. They're not anything I've ever tried, but maybe they do. Maybe the experts know what they're doing. But the point is, there are a lot of tricks out there that people suggest to help us focus our attention. Some of them may have value, some may not. Some may work for you, some may not. I wanted us to focus, if you will, on what the Bible teaches. How do we increase our attention span according to the Bible? Evidently, I have a slide here out of order, so I'm going to go through this one real quick. This was actually supposed to be my first slide tonight. All right, the mind at work. How to increase our attention span. And we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at some suggestions that God gives us to help pinpoint the things that we need to do and to be able to concentrate on those things and get them done. In this morning's lesson, we gave a list of things where we need to focus, where we need to give our attention if we're going to please God. And again, as I closed out this morning, I said that tonight we're going to look at some ways to increase our attention span. Let me say that these are not simple 1, 2, 3 steps and you're done. Let me say that once you buy into these and you try to implement these in your life, that doesn't mean that you will never again have a problem or an issue with trying to focus. I think we all know that there are times when we just seem to be able to give our attention better than other times. When I'm trying to study, or maybe when I'm trying to write an article, you know, there are times that I'll sit down and I'll struggle and work and my mind will be wandering and I just don't get a lot done. And maybe I spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And then I'll get up and get something to eat, come back, and all of a sudden it clicks. And I get more done in the next hour or two than I did all morning long, perhaps, or all the day before. And so we recognize that there are situations and times when we just think better and we're able to focus better. But the things that we're going to find in God's Word, they are things that will help us, again, to put direction to what we're trying to do. And the first one is driven focus, what we will call driven focus. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in the passage read a moment ago by Wesley in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so we have a picture here, an analogy, of a newborn babe hungry and wanting something to eat. Now, if you've ever been around a child, a babe, when he or she is hungry, you know that they get that information out to you, don't they? They let you know it's time to do something about this. I'm hungry. I want it now. I don't want to wait. And they will scream and they will cry and they will holler until they get what they want. And you can put that little pacifier in their mouth, but if they're hungry, that pacifier does no good. They are driven. And the only thing that is going to satisfy them, the only thing that is going to settle them down a little bit from their focus of wanting to be fed is if you provide them with that milk. And here Peter uses that picture for us, and he says, like newborn babes, like newborn infants, you long for the pure spiritual milk. The word long there is defined by strong as to yearn, to dote upon, that is, intensely crave possession. Intensely crave possession. It's something you've got to have. It is an intense desire on your part. Have you ever been in a situation where you've wanted something so badly that you could not really think of much else? And that you really didn't have time for much else. There was something so important to you at that moment that nothing else mattered. And your whole attention was upon success, achievement, getting what you want. And you were willing to spend the time, the energy, make the sacrifices in order to get what you want. That's the picture that we have here. And I would suggest to us that if we can understand the vital importance of directing our focus and our concentration on serving God, if it means all to us, if it means everything to us, if we recognize that this moment, there is nothing more important than my service to God. And that's true every moment of life. I'm not suggesting that every moment of life we are going to be able to spend in doing something that is directed specifically and only at God. Sometimes our service to God may be just simply being a good husband or good wife or a good parent or a good child or a good employer and employee. But we need to be driven, and we need to understand that the focus that is involved in that, if we're driven, then we're going to be able to concentrate and give our attention better. At least when you compare it to something that you are ho-hum about and complacent about and take it or leave it. I think too often that is the way that we approach our Christian life. Second, purposeful focus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. There's that word again, longing. The same one that we defined a few moments ago. Intensely crave possession. An intense desire. As we closed out verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, that you may grow up into salvation. There's a purpose in mind, right? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. In other words, we are looking forward. And more than that, we are driven to achieving that goal of heaven, of our heavenly calling. If we have that purpose in mind, what are we trying to accomplish? It helps us to focus. I think, again, too often as Christians, we go through the motions and we know the things that we ought to be doing and we almost do them out of habit, but there's not really anything behind them. There's not any feeling or emotion that we have, and we kind of do them because that's what we're supposed to do. There's not a purpose for the things that we're doing. If we can develop that mindset of purpose, there's a reason that we're doing these things. There's a reason for my life in Christ. And that will help us to increase our attention span. Diligent focus in Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Two things we want to focus on here. May have the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. The word earnestness there means with haste, with diligence. Earnestness in accomplishing, in promoting, or striving after anything. To give all diligence, interest in oneself most earnestly, Thayer says. And again, it's the idea that simply nothing will get in your way. Diligent earnestness means that as things come up and things try to derail your journey to heaven, that they're pushed aside. And you just keep plodding on. The next step, and the next step, and the next step. And each step that you take, again, you're focused on where you're going. You are diligent in that. So that you may not be sluggish, lazy. So that you may not be a lazy person trying to serve God. That's an impossible task. You cannot be lazy and serve God. Consistent focus, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 8, and then verse 10. consistent focus. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So we see the idea of diligent again, do we not, in the very last verse? But I want you to notice that there's consistency with this. Going back to verse 5, make every effort. Make every effort. The King James actually translates that, give all diligence. And so there's that same idea. But make every effort to supplement or to add to your faith, the King James Version says. And that idea of supplementing or adding to your faith is a word in the Greek that indicates a continuing action. A consistent action. And so these things that we are to be adding to our faith, the virtue, the knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love, these things we work on day in and day out. And we realize that we never reach a point in our lives where we can sit back and say, I have enough. I've reached my goal. A consistent focus means that every day we are trying to increase and we give diligence to that. We make every effort to that. We are trying to increase and grow in the things mentioned in this context. If we do that, if we are, listen, verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are what? Increasing. Increasing, you see. The idea of consistent again. If they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then fifth, we find that there has to be a patient focus. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So notice that we are waiting for something. And we're waiting for that based on the promises of God. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent, there's that word again, to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And so we are waiting for something that is not yet ours. But in that anticipation, we keep our mind's eye focused on the prize. That is the very point that the Apostle Paul makes in some of his writings. In the book of Philippians, Paul makes mention of the fact that he's not attained, but that he's pressing forward, he's pressing onward. That he keeps his mind's eye on the goal, on the prize that is there. And so we do that patiently. We recognize that it is a long haul. It's impossible for us to be intense every moment of every day, isn't it? There are moments in our lives when maybe danger is forefront, when maybe danger faces us and we have to deal with it, or maybe when there's some major event that's taking place and all of a sudden all of this emotion is felt and now we have to focus. And so we understand those kinds of ebb and flows in emotion. But please realize that our focus is one of patience. You don't graduate high school in 1 year. You don't graduate college in 1 month. Those are things that take time. And you've got to be focused. And again, there may be a little downtime, so to speak, or time when we're not as intense. But you've always got to be focused. You've got to be patient in those things. You've got to put forth your best effort. The patience that you have is one that requires best effort. to be focused on those things. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 12, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. What he's talking about there is simply when we are dead and gone and we rest from our works here in life. That's the Sabbath that he's talking about, a time of rest. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Notice what he says again. Let us strive. Work hard. Put forth your best effort, realizing that the Word of God is going to be able to, as he says here, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Our lives are going to be judged against the standard of God's Word. How important is the Bible? Well, our focus needs to be on it if we want to know God's Word. We need to study. We need to meditate on these things. As Paul told the evangelist Timothy, we need to give ourselves to learning God's Word. We need to put forth our best effort. Why? Because our lives are going to be judged against it. And if we are found wanting, then God is going to hold us accountable. And then finally tonight, a courageous focus. If you have courage, the right kind of courage, it will help you to intensify your attention on the things God wants. Courage. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are transient, are seen that are transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And so he says, we do not lose heart. The things that take place daily, the hard things, the difficult things, the hurtful things, things that cause us sorrow and heartache in this life. Don't lose heart. Even though the outward man, the body that we live in, getting older, some point in time will not be able to sustain our lives. Some point in time there will be a separation of body and soul. We need to face this life with courage, understanding that whatever light, momentary affliction we have to face, it prepares us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Do we have that kind of courage? If we are strong and courageous, then we're able to focus a little bit better. People who are weak, people who are afraid, people who cower down to the devices of Satan, their mind's eye is all over the place. They're not able to focus on the things that God wants them to do. And so these 7 points, a driven focus, a purposeful focus, a diligent focus, a consistent focus, a patient focus, a best effort focus, and a courageous focus. If we can implement these 7 points into our lives, as we try to keep our mind on the prize, as we try to make the walk toward heaven, it will help us, I believe, to be more attentive to God's will and God's Word. If you're not a Christian, then tonight I hope and pray that you will think about your condition, that you will get your mind focused on the things that need to take place, that you will direct your attention to God's Word and see what God wants you to do. If you're not a Christian, He wants you to believe in Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. He wants you to turn your heart to Him in repentance and confess your faith in Jesus and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. That's what God wants. If you are a child of God, but you've sinned against Him, maybe you haven't been as focused as you ought to be, God wants you to come back. He wants you to rededicate yourself, rededicate your attention and your focus to Him. And so if you need to respond this evening, we encourage you to respond as together we stand and we sing the song that's been selected.